In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, in demanding equality with men, modern women of the world have thereby sacrificed their femininity, have destroyed the pedestal on which they once stood, and in a multitude of ways are suffering the consequence. She has tossed her dignity into the mire of a godless world because she bought into the resolutions of the feminist movement, which have been long since preached and practiced since their adoption at a meeting in Paris in 1900. These resolutions read as follows. The General Congress advocates prostitution, divorce, free love, adultery, social revolution, secular schools, and equality for females in every kind of work performed by men. Christianity is the greatest historical disaster the world has ever experienced. It's essential to abolish the confessional and all forms of Christian teaching. The daughter who remains at home under the domination of her parents, as well as the wife who stays indissolubly tied to one man, are miserable slaves. The kind of life these lay nuns live, supposedly leading to heaven through the imitation of the Virgin Mary, stultifies the personality. Freemasonry, the enemy of error and superstition, is a natural foe of the Catholic Church. Women should join our lodges, for once enrolled, they become imbued with our spirit, which they transmit to their families. My dearly beloved in Christ, looking at today's society, we see the great damage to which such sinful propaganda has led. It's wormed its way into every phase of life and has left society destitute of morals and the true faith. A bad woman is a most powerful tool in the hands of the devil because she wields such influence over others. She's a source of corruption, a virulent infection who infects others, and who, if she has children, instills a similar lack of morality and lack of principles in them. She, as did Eve, causes the downfall of those who come under her influence. My dearly beloved in Christ, in contrast, God has given us many devout Catholic mothers who realize the greatness of the dignity He has imparted to them, and the crucial importance and value of the duties which it entails. Such good women try to model themselves after the Blessed Virgin Mary, their spiritual mother. A truly Catholic wife first tries to be faithful and humbly submissive to her husband, while still maintaining her dignity without being a slave. Cardinal Mezzenti has written, God did not create the first woman from the head or the foot of man, for woman was neither to be the ruler nor the slave of man. He fashioned her from man's side, close to his heart. Her vocation is to help the temporal and eternal happiness of the family. My dearly beloved in Christ, a woman's sphere of action then is within the family circle. He who would substitute anything else frustrates her true nature, disrupts the providential plan of God, and creates serious problems for society at large, which becomes filled with neurotic, unhappy, useless, and very often disruptive women. My dearly beloved in Christ, Christian motherhood is the exercise of personal piety to the point that it becomes a way of life. In this way, the virtuous mother is not only an example for her husband, but most importantly for her children, who are more influenced by her actions than by her words. She's prudent in speech, reserved in her taste, modest in appearance and action, patient, charitable, humble, sweet, gentle, and yet firm when needed. She can be considered a perfume that diffuses itself throughout the household, an oil which reduces or eliminates the friction produced by personal clashes or serious character defects. My dearly beloved in Christ, in short, she should be the model for the sanctification of her family. St. Paul has said, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by a believing wife. A good Catholic mother is devoted to her children, cares for them tenderly, instructs them in religious and moral principles, watches over them continuously, and is always for them a living example of virtue. The power she possesses is truly sublime in the formation of her children. She it is who gives the child the first lessons in character. For this reason, Holy Mother Church has always upheld the mother's fundamental right and dignity as the primary instructor of the child in Christian virtue, recognizing the truth of the adage, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. If the love of God can be instilled into souls in infancy and childhood, the major portion of the spiritual battle has been won. This is why the Masons and enemies of the Church have so long sought to destroy the dignity and true position of women so that it would be easier to take over a nation once weakened by corruption, immorality, and disintegrating family life. My dearly beloved in Christ, unity and good example in the home is so important. Perhaps this is why Jesus spent 30 years in the obscurity of a poor carpenter shop and only about one-tenth of his life in preaching. He knew that good example is 10 times more productive than words alone. Virtuous Catholic mothers edify all of us with their self-sacrifice and devotion to prayer and to their families. Some are so humble they rarely, if ever, complain. Many are spontaneous in their charity and are always ready to do a kindness. Others display such self-control that they calmly endure being interrupted time and time again at whatever task in which they are engaged. Their patience is displayed daily in a variety of ways, and they have a ready smile for anyone who approaches them. Pope Pius XII spoke truly when he said that the wife and mother is the son of the family. He wrote, strictly speaking, the family is woman's field of labor. This has been repeated frequently, and it remains uttermost in our mind every time we discuss feminine activity. The family is your field of battle, women. Hear my words, mothers, sisters, daughters and wives. The work of the bride must always be that of the strong woman spoken of in Scripture. St. Louis IX is often styled by non-Catholic authors as the greatest of the French kings. Virtue and religion flourished during his reign. Justice was administered wisely and swiftly. The king assisted at 3 masses daily and urged his courtiers to do likewise. St. Louis attributed his training and virtue to the influence of his Holy Mother, Blanche of Castile. When he was a boy, she often took him upon her knee to teach him his duties to God, the King of Kings. Blanche would often whisper in his ear, "Though I love you dearly, I would rather see you dead at my feet than guilty of one mortal sin." She exercised awesome power over France, not by sitting on a throne, but by directing the heart of her son. Her blessed influence was felt for generations. It still must be mentioned that in spite of the sincere effort of devout Catholic mothers, some children will stray from the true faith and live lives in total opposition on how they were raised. Sadly, in our present society, the greater influence comes from the world outside the home, which surrounds children from a longer period of time than that afforded to within the home. Each person is a free agent, and God would not have it otherwise. It is in such times that the practice of prayer and the frequent reception of the sacraments is a mother's greatest weapon in the spiritual warfare for the salvation of their souls. She should remember that even God's children, Adam and Eve, disobeyed and failed him. No matter what, her hope should never be lost, nor her effort ever surrendered. Failure or victory is in God's hands. What he seeks from us is loyalty, effort, and sincerity of heart. Thank you to all the you mothers who have and are still putting forth great effort and prayer for your children so that they remain on or return to the road of eternal salvation. Let me end with the following letter written by Ann Landers. It's entitled, Prayer for My Mother. Dear God, now that I am no longer young, I have friends whose mothers have passed away. I've heard these sons and daughters say they never fully appreciated their mothers until it was too late to tell them. I'm blessed with a dear mother who is still alive. I appreciate her more each day. My mother does not change, but I do. As I grow older and wiser, I realize what an extraordinary person she is. How sad that I am unable to speak these words in her presence, but they flow easily from my pen. How does a daughter begin to thank her mother for life itself? For the love, patience, and just plain hard work that goes into raising a child. For running after a toddler. For understanding the moody teenager. For tolerating a college student who knows everything. For waiting for the day when a daughter realizes how wise her mother really is. How does a grown woman thank a mother for continuing to be a mother? For being ready with advice when asked, or remaining silent when it's most appreciated. For not saying, I told you so, when she could have uttered those words dozens of times. For being essentially herself, loving, thoughtful, patient, and forgiving. I don't know how, dear God, except to ask you to bless her as richly as she deserves, and to help me live up to the example she has set. I pray that I will look as good in the eyes of my children as my mother looks in mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.